Have you ever had a 7-Up cake or a Sock It To Me cake?
I'm going to say 100% no.
Right.
Haven't. Don't know it.
Okay.
Want
okay.
it.
Well, they're Bundt cakes, basically. You've had a Bundt cake before, I presume? Yes?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bundt cake. You know, just, you know, with different flavoring in it. You know, the 7-Up Bundt cake recipe has, obviously, 7-Up in it. And it's got, like, lemon extract, a little vanilla, lemon juice. Like, you know, it's basically what a 7-Up tastes like.
I like 7-Up. I do.
Yeah.
If you had a soda machine in front of me and you said 7-Up versus Sprite,
yeah,
I think I'm inclined to go 7-Up.
Yeah, and a Sock It To Me cake is basically like a cinnamon brown sugar with, like, pecans, like, Bundt cake.
Well, I'm with Stephen A. Like, I never heard either of those. But
yeah.
Andy Reid, the chocolate cake, like, nice, moist chocolate cake with frosting, then more cake, yeah. Then frosting, then more cake. You know, like a 7-layered chocolate cake?
Yeah. Now, yeah. You want chocolate on chocolate?
Yeah. Double chocolate.
Okay.
Chocolate.
Yes. Chocolate on chocolate is the best kind of cake.
Because, see, I like chocolate on chocolate, but I feel like that could also be too decadent. Like, to me, I love chocolate, okay? But I probably can only have, like, one slice at a time of, like, chocolate on chocolate. Whereas, like, chocolate on, like, white cake or vanilla cake or golden cake or something like that, I feel like I can have a lot of that.
You want to know who's got... And this is an unsolicited non-endorsement because I haven't had it in a really long time. You know who's got a bomb chocolate on chocolate, like 7-layer cake?
Who?
Is P.F. Chang's.
What? Get out of here.
No, I'm sure of it.
No way.
I'm 99.8% sure of it. There's that
99.8%? I'm going to look up their menu right now.
Yeah, do it. I think it's called the Great Wall of Chocolate. I'm almost sure. Again,
that actually does sound like something that a chain restaurant would have,
right,
the Great Wall of Chocolate. Yes.
That's why I'm saying it's 99.8. There's 0.2 of a percentage that I could be mistaken.
Right. Dessert, they have Chang's Apple Crunch.
Okay.
Chocolate Soufflé.
Nope.
New York-style cheesecake. Fire and Ice, which sounds interesting, which is bread pudding and vanilla ice cream, encased in chocolate ignited and served with flaming. Okay. Banana spring rolls. Oh, there it is. The Great Wall of Chocolate.
Yes.
6 layers of chocolate cake, chocolate frosting, and semi-sweet chocolate chips.
Yes. Oh, my God. You know, the more you read down the menu, the less likely I thought that I was right.
Yes.
So
I did
really
that on
glad.
Purpose. I saved it to the end. I saw it earlier.
Very
I'm
good.
Building up. I'm building it up. I was building
really?
It up for you.
Excellent. Yes. I mean, really, quite a sense of showmanship out of you.
Yeah. You know, I've done this for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, you're all right.
Laura, chocolate on chocolate, or do you like a different kind of cake?
I'm not a huge cake person.
Whoa!
We've talked about this before, but if I'm going to have any type of cake, I'm going to go with Tres Leches cake.
Tres Leches is good.
Yeah, whoa. Tres Leches.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like as I was watching basketball yesterday, I was watching my hometown team yesterday play the Toronto Raptors before the Lakers game. Because the Rams game, as great as it was, got a little boring, towards the end of that one. So I flipped over, and they have,
like, what else is on?
This isn't my phrase, but the Heat Twitter has created a nickname for some of their players called Tres Leches, which is Tyler Hero, Max Strus, and Duncan Robinson, and you can figure out why they call them Tres Leches.
That's funny.
But they all nail three-pointers, so that's all that matters. Anyway, Steve Mason has checked in. He goes, coconut cake, white on white. Which is exactly what I think of when I think of Mason in Ireland. There you go. Coconut cake. White on white.
White on white with a side of vanilla
with
ice cream.
With a side of vanilla ice cream with Greg Bergman. There you go.
Greg Bergman isn't your, like, he's not your chocolate sauce?
No, I feel like Greg Bergman. No, you know what Greg Bergman is? He's the side of mint chocolate chip.
Hey now. Nice pull.
Because he loves mint chocolate chip.
So weird.
Yeah.
I like mint chocolate chip. I don't think it's weird.
I'm not surprised, bro. Blech. I'm not surprised.
Blech.
What does it say about somebody? What do you think it says about somebody?
It says that you like toothpaste, bro.
Yep.
Actually, I'll tell you, the funny thing is that recently I've been changing my diet, so the mint chocolate chip ice cream isn't happening for me at night, but I was starting to complain that it wasn't minty enough. You know, it's like, you know, it's creamy.
Not minty enough.
Yeah, it's creamy and cold, yeah. And I like that. Yeah. And I like the crunch of the chocolate chips, but I feel like the mint ice cream wasn't minty enough recently.
See, with Steve Mace's coconut cake, all kidding aside, like, I love a good coconut cake, but I feel like coconut cake is also something you can't have regularly. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, I'm not really having chocolate cake regularly.
No, but I feel like if they, again, let's just say you didn't gain weight. It's just a taste thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Would you want... I would eat, if you told me there would be no health ramifications to eating chocolate cake every day, a slice of chocolate cake, I would absolutely have a slice of chocolate cake. I don't know if I would have a slice of coconut cake every day.
No, coconut cake is the kind of cake that you have and you're like, oh, this is
good. It's one time it's good and then it lasts you months, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You don't need that coconutty stuff all the time. Right?
I remember the... shout out to Tropicana Bakery. They did
Michael Thompson's birthday.
It was and coconut cake, and it was delicious. But I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm good for the year.
Exactly. You know, and again, nothing wrong with coconut cake, just not my thing I could do more regularly. But anyway, the Rams got their cake, and the Lakers got their cake for one night. But it looks like they don't want to give a piece of cake to Frank Vogel, Scott Kaplan.
Yeah.
You got the Athletic, Sam Amick. And Bill Oram, who's going to join us at 6 o'clock with a story that basically Frank is day-to-day. His job status is day-to-day. Aren't we all? To be honest with you, we're all kind of day-to-day around here. But then Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times comes out and says that, now this is the phrasing he had, there are no, quote, current plans to replace Frank Vogel per a source with knowledge of the situation. More detailed story coming later. Now, that also is not necessarily the opposite of what those guys wrote. They're just saying that it was, in essence, a bit of a state of, execution, per se, for lack of a better phrase, right? Like, that Frank was not going to be on the chopping block after that win yesterday, but he is absolutely being observed and evaluated on a game-to-game basis. And, look, at this stage of the season, it's getting late, Cap, so I'm not surprised by that. Although, as you and I have talked about a lot, I am disappointed by it because I don't think he's anywhere near the top of the problems on this particular squad.
Yeah, listen, as the day goes on, the afternoon goes on, we'll get deeper into this, George. So I'm going to reserve some thoughts here, but I'm going to say this. You know who Frank Vogel is. Look, he is not in Laker history what Pat Riley is. He is not who Phil Jackson was. He's got one championship. But you know who he is. You've seen enough of him over the last 3-4 years. You know who Frank Vogel is. So to put this out that you're evaluating him day to day, that's nonsense. He's either your coach or he's not your coach. And if he's not your coach, are you prepared with better at this time of the year? And if it doesn't work, will you have just fired him just for scapegoating's sake? So, like I said, we'll go deeper. But I'd be a little pissed if I were Frank Vogel today.
I would be too, but I think he also remember, we went through this once already. Remember when, I guess LeBron and players were asked about Frank's job and they were all like, it's part of the deal, blah, 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 which wasn't inaccurate. But then we had Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated write a story about which is basically what we've said. Like, this isn't his fault. Like, stop. Like, yes, could we nitpick a rotation here or substitution? Sure, you do that with almost any coach, including Phil Jackson and Pat Riley, by the way.
Yeah.
But his premise, and he came on the show with us, was like, we need to push back on this. This is nonsense, which I still agree with. Like, it's nonsense. Like, if we're ranking the problems with the Lakers, Frank Vogel he's not even in my top 5 or 6 even.
Yeah, but you know what it is, George? They got Russell Westbrook. They're not looking like they're going to be able to get rid of Russell Westbrook. And so the question becomes, is there a coach out there, a personality out there that can get Russell Westbrook to be what the Lakers need him to be? And that's if you've decided that Frank Vogel is not capable of doing that, because to me, this is about you got this player. He makes a fortune. You can't get rid of him. He isn't contributing to victories the way you expected. So is there somebody that can get to him and communicate with him? And that's because we've determined Frank Vogel cannot. I mean, that to me is what this is about. It's about
a coach and
a player.
Yeah, but he hasn't. Look. All right, let's tackle this on the other side.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot to get to.
I, I don't have enough time to address that particular question or that particular conversation, because we got to get to Kiki, who's going to do traffic, and she could tell us what her favorite cake is, whether it's chocolate on chocolate, chocolate on vanilla, coconut. Maybe there's something off the board that we have missed when it comes to cakes with Kiki. But I will answer your question about Vogel and I guess how would you phrase it? Like the relationship is how you phrased it?
The question is this: is there a coach and who has a personality that you can get right now that can communicate with Russell Westbrook? That is what, to me, this is all about.
Okay, let's do that on the other side.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, that is true. All that did happen, but it was my idea, not hers.
Oh, my God. National Thesaurus Day. Really? National Thesaurus Day.
It's a great day. I love me a good thesaurus.
Haven't held one in a really, really long time.
I mean, you don't have to hold one anymore. You can just find one on thesaurus.com.
I was going to say, yes, thesaurus.com is a go-to.
Yeah. Oh, I've never used it, but back in the day. Used to have one.
Perhaps we can use it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't used a thesaurus in ages, but when I was in school, it was great. Have a little thesaurus kind of next to a dictionary. It's good. I like a thesaurus. Yeah. I like saying it.
I mean, you do say interesting a lot, so, you know, you could use different. You want, like, some I'm going to thesaurus.com right now. Do you want me to give you some other catchphrases you can use instead of interesting?
Interesting was one that I used, but wait a second. You guys all busted my chops when I was using fascinating. I find certain things to be fascinating, and you kept calling me out for that one, too.
Okay, because you were going to one or the other. Like, you were basically showing us you're only a two-pitch pitcher. You need to you need to have, like, five pitches.
Okay,
I mean?
if you can add
so
three.
Let's rate them here real quick before we finish the conversation about Russell Westbrook.
All right.
All right. How about alluring? Do you like alluring? Can we sell you on alluring?
I don't like alluring.
Okay, that's fine. How about amusing?
Amusing is good, but when I find something fascinating or interesting, I don't necessarily find it amusing at the same time.
Okay. How about compelling?
Now, compelling is one that I do like very much so, and I would gladly insert as a third pitch. So I would have fascinating, interesting, compelling is excellent, and I use
that's
it occasionally.
Like a curveball. Yeah, it's like a curveball.
How about intriguing?
Intriguing is like a split finger fastball. Yeah.
Intriguing is also a good one. I would definitely use it as my fourth pitch rather than my third, but I do like intriguing as well. Thank you.
How about this one? I mean, this is like a knuckle curve because it's hyphenated. How about thought provoking?
Thought provoking is very good. Is there a hyphen between thought and provoking?
Correct. Hence why I said it's hyphenated.
Oh.
He definitely did say that.
George, I find that to be very compelling.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
As a matter of fact.
You know, and then just like something you can try on the side, like a slider, right? Yeah. Like, how about provocative?
Provocative is also something I like. But it has to be it really has to be sexy, or there's got to be a lot of money involved.
But I'm telling you, though, there's some pitches you can work with.
Provocative
is interesting
nice.
And fascinating all the time.
Yeah, provocative is good.
Yes. And to Christopher, we already did discover the Great Wall of Chocolate is a real thing.
It is a real thing. It is a dessert at P.F. Chang's. I was mistaken, however, when I said it was seven layers of chocolate cake and chocolate icing. Yeah. George, you have corrected me. I stand corrected. It is a six-layer chocolate cake, not a seven-layer chocolate cake.
Yeah. I mean, listen, seven and six is a big deal. I mean, that's an extra
Have you guys
layer.
Ever had, like, a really good seven-layer chocolate cake? Or just, like, seven-layer cake, the Italian style, with all the different colors?
I have had seven-layer chocolate cake. I'm trying to think. There was definitely a place in Vegas I had a seven-layer chocolate cake. I don't remember what restaurant right now, but I definitely have eaten one before.
I have not, because I thought I was eating a seven-layer chocolate cake, but this is actually quite provocative. It was only a six-layer chocolate cake. which I think is intriguing. I think.
There you go. You're working it in there. I like that. I like how you were trying to mix up the pitches. Although I don't know how a 6 versus 7 layer chocolate cake is actually provocative. But nonetheless, I do like you trying throw the pitches. That one was not a strike provocative. That's the intriguing one came in for a strike. So you were like 1-1 on this at bat.
Just a bit outside on the provocative.
Yeah. Correct. That's fine. All right. So let me finish my conversation with you about Russell Westbrook. Is there a coach that can get through to Russell Westbrook? I would say that, Scott Brooks coached Russell Westbrook both with the Oklahoma City Thunder and with the Washington Wizards, okay? And, you know, I just think that at this stage of his career, I think you have to know what Russ's strengths are and what his weaknesses are. And how do you convey that to him? Like, I think that there are guys, yes, who can do that. And I think Frank is one of them. Like, hey, we're gonna put you in your positions to succeed. Like, they've done that. Think about the way they started this season, talking about, hey, we're just going to let Russ be Russ and Russ do his thing, this, that, and the other, yada, yada, yada. So they've tried a lot of different methods. At some point, Scott, it's not on the coach to convey a certain message. It's on the player to realize his own potential limitations in year 14.
Yeah, but again, I don't think that at this stage of the season, through 44 games where you're 500, I don't think that organizationally you should be looking to make everything about Russell Westbrook simply because you decided to put him on the team, get him onto the team. You know how much money he's going to make. You know how hard it's going to be to move him. So why are we doing everything to accommodate him? Who is the focal point of the Laker roster?
It's LeBron.
Of course. So what you do is you focus on LeBron. You don't focus on just trying to create the environment that is best for Russ. Russ must conform, if you will, to what the Lakers need him to be, rather than the Lakers as a franchise saying, this coach doesn't work, so let's try and go get that coach because that might work. The one guy who should be communicating with Russ and delivering the message if Frank's message isn't being delivered or respected, the guy who should be delivering the message is LeBron himself.
Yeah, and he would respond to you with, you're the coach, man.
Come on. Like, would he really? I mean, if
I'm not going to speak for him, but my guess is that would be the
reaction.
But
we're playing it out. We're playing it out. You ready? I'm Frank Vogel.
Okay.
You're LeBron. How's that feel?
Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah.
Okay. LeBron, listen to me.
Yeah, sure.
How much time do you have? We know it's limited. Everything we do is about winning a championship with you now. Can we agree? Can we agree, LeBron?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Russell Westbrook. You had a lot of influence on him joining this team. Would you concur with that?
Yes.
Okay.
I would concur, yes.
Okay. He's, as you see, he's an exceptionally talented player. He's an incredible athlete.
Uh-huh.
But for us to play winning basketball, he needs to do the things that you need him to do, not you do the things that he needs you to do. Understand?
No. Say that again.
Okay. I need Russell Westbrook to play off of you, not you off of him.
Got it.
Okay. I've tried to explain it to him, LeBron. I have. It's just not clicking, or he's just listening and he's saying, yes, coach, and he's doing whatever he wants to. You know, if you spoke to him, he would really, really listen to you more so than to me. So why don't you deliver the message, LeBron?
Well, I mean, I've already talked to him, man. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not getting through to him and I'm not getting through to him, you know, there's not much I can do about that. Like, we're just going to have to figure this thing out and, you know, on the fly, you know.
Well, then LeBron,
you know, that's going to fall on you.
Well, then LeBron, I have one other question for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to be satisfied with how we are as a team right now?
Because No.
Okay. Well, you know, if they fire me, you think that you're going to find somebody else who's going to walk through the door here and do the things that I'm asking you to do? Is somebody else going to be able to?
I mean, if you really want to get testy on this, you know, and again, we're just simulating here, but maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, well,
I've played for a lot of different guys.
Okay, well, hey, then LeBron, because you're LeBron, George, you should just fire me right now.
I mean, That's up to them upstairs, man. I don't.
What do you mean
anybody.
Up to them? I read the Athletic article. The Athletic article said Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, LeBron James. It didn't say Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, and Frank Vogel.
I don't know. I don't know what they said in some article. I'm just telling you, I don't make those decisions. That's up to Jeannie and Rob, man. That's your problem with them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
are we done here? Because I got stuff to do, man.
Oh, really? What do you got? You got like a TV show?
I got
to
work out. I got to work out so we can carry. Oh. I can carry this team.
Oh, you got a tequila company you got to go run or something?
No, I got to carry the team. You know, is that good? We're good with that?
No, he's got to go do an interview with Scott Kaplan, one-on-one.
Good luck with that.
Now, at that point, Frank Vogel would say, okay, I understand. Let's finish this meeting. I got that.
Yeah, that, I mean, listen, I'm guessing, speculating recklessly as we role play there. But by the way, we should do that role play more often. Like, that actually is kind of like a funny bit. We should be doing that recurringly.
But on occasion, though, I want to be LeBron.
No, it doesn't have to be LeBron. We can just pick different people and like.
I understand, but I want to be LeBron on occasion because I want you to hear my LeBron versus your LeBron.
Okay, I mean, mine is probably going to be a little more accurate. Not that I'm saying it's accurate, but it's going to be probably closer to being accurate than yours would be.
I don't know, man. Mine might be exaggerated, but I think people will hear it and go, you know, Kaplan's LeBron is really, really good.
Maybe. So anyway, ultimately to me, to answer your question, I think this is on the player when it comes to Russ in some way, shape, or form. Hey, look, let's get to some happy stuff. They won the game yesterday, which we'll get to in a bit, but the Rams won, and Matthew Stafford, all right? You know what he said yesterday in his postgame? He said, bleep Kaplan. Actually, that's not what he said. He might have thought it, though. So we'll get to that on the other side. We're back in 3 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
In the sky, moving on up.
January 18th, 1975 till July 2nd, 1985. 11 seasons, 253 episodes of The Jeffersons.
I'm telling you right now, my favorite number one sitcom of all time, The Jeffersons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sanford and Son is not far behind, okay? And there's a lot of other great ones that we could debate, okay?
Yeah.
But for me, this is just me talking here. The Jeffersons, that's my favorite.
Yeah, they were great. It was you don't last 11 years on TV just, you know, because, you know, you're not good. Like, it's great television. And it's still great television now, I would say, if you watch it back. And you could find it, I'm sure, on some streaming service or whatever. But, it was great. And Sherman Helmsley was awesome.
Love Sherman Helmsley.
And, you know, all the actors and actresses, you know, were...
He's the only one
Wheezy.
I can name.
Wheezy?
Yeah, no, I can name the characters. I just can't name the actors or actresses.
Oh, well, Wheezy was Isabel Sanford. That was her real name.
Oh, hey, good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, Marla Gibbs, Florence, was the... was the maid for George and Wheezy.
Right, because she went on to have a spinoff of that show, didn't she? It was like an address. It was like, you know,
227.
What was it?
227.
227. All right, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
The Jeffersons.
Yeah. Great show. Great show. Yeah.
What did George Jefferson do for a living, you recall?
I think he owned dry cleaners.
That is exactly right, he did.
Yeah.
He did indeed. And do you remember his neighbor who worked, well, do you remember who his neighbor was?
Well, it was a guy named Harry, right?
Yeah, what was his last name? Because they always called him by his last name.
Bentley.
Bentley, right. He was British. Do you remember what he did for a living?
I do not remember what he did for a living.
He worked at the United Nations.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And they were an interracial couple. His wife was black.
No, that was Tom Willis and Helen Willis. They lived upstairs.
Oh, okay.
And their daughter was Jenny,
okay,
who used to date George and Wheezy's son.
Oh, so I have them confused. Right. Tom Willis and Helen Willis were the people upstairs, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Their children started, you know, they got into a relationship.
Right.
Lionel.
Yeah. Lionel the son, yes. There were two Lionels, by the way.
That is true. There were two Lionels. One had a much bigger afro.
Yeah. So there were two Lionels. But The Jeffersons, a great show for you young kids out there, you young whippersnappers, if you ever want to see what a real good, you know, that's when, I mean, there was really nowhere else. Like, you know, like if you weren't on network TV, you weren't on anywhere. There was no such thing as cable or streaming. Well, I mean, the cable came later. Like it had to be like top of the top quality type programming. Like some of that programming, I've always said, All in the Family, Jeffersons, that stuff may not. I don't know if it would be network TV. Like, you know, there are some shows that are still, you know, that could be like that. I mean, Blackish is a really good show, but I don't think it was as. I don't think the writing was the same way as the Jeffersons. Like they were. I mean, they were using like what we would consider. Foul language on network television now.
The words that they were using for one another back then.
Yeah,
you can't say those words now.
It would definitely be streaming or cable or something like that. Now, I think so. Anyway, all right, real quick, the Rams.
Yeah,
good news on the Rams. Matthew Stafford, has he made you shut up a little bit then?
Listen, I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. You know,
are you?
Yeah, I am. And I said to you on Friday that I expected the Rams to win, and I expected Matthew Stafford to have a really good game. What I didn't expect was that Matthew Stafford would not really be needed so much. And if the Rams could find themselves, look, he only had 17 pass attempts. But if the Rams could have 25 pass attempts and 23, 24, 25 rush attempts, I mean, if they could be closer to 50-50, that would be ideal. I love to see.
Wait. So you're dinging him for not throwing the ball more?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm saying that it's great when you have balance. And in this particular instance, they didn't need some prolific passing effort from Matthew Stafford. I'm just happy for him because to go into a game where everybody's talking about who's got the most pressure, who hasn't won games in the postseason, who's been all about stats but not about wins, to have it all lead to this moment in your life where you're on a good team and you're on a huge stage and you have a home playoff game and you got a lot of weapons around you on both sides of the ball. For Matthew Stafford, him personally, I'm very happy. But he needs to do more now. One victory in the postseason is not enough for a hungry Rams fan base
Super Bowl. Look, all we heard, right, when they were on a three-game losing streak, hey, Matthew Stafford is like 9-7 million versus teams who were playoff teams in his history, you know, prior to coming to the Rams. And then, you know, after they started winning, well, they beat bad teams. Rah, 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 rah. And then, you know, they lose to the Niners, and Matthew Stafford has never won a playoff game, never won a playoff game, never won a playoff game. And then he wins one, and it's all right, do it again.
Right.
I get it. And by the way, I understand do it again. But what I would say is, let's give the guy a little tip of the cap, at least for a second.
Dude, give him a monster tip of the cap. I mean, for him, it did not require him to be spectacular. He was efficient and solid.
But I feel like you're dinging him
words. No, not
efficient,
not one bit.
Solid.
But George, if he would have gone last night, because the Rams needed him to go 29 of 35 and with 325 yards and 3 touchdowns and a pick. I mean, if he had spectacular statistics because the team needed him to put them on their back, for him to put the team on his back, people would be praising his performance. Right now, what we're praising is he got the zero, the goose egg, out of the way. Now you're going to Tampa Bay, and I know it's not until Sunday, you're facing the GOAT. So now here's a great opportunity for Matthew Stafford to say, I'm going to prove the doubters wrong and win this game. If he doesn't win this game, it's like, okay, great. So he won a playoff game. Good.
So Laura just chimed in because she's dating the Rams this year. I feel like it's going well.
They're fans. They are fans.
Yeah. And so you said they already did. I heard you say
they already did.
Yeah.
Because everyone was, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, beating Brady would be even better, but he already did. Everybody was counting him out on this game. Oh, he's under pressure. He's this, he's that. Kep, you've been hating on him the whole season.
Wrong.
You know what I'm saying?
Wrong. So, I mean, no, you kind of have.
So no, he already
no,
did.
No, no
you
no,
just
no.
love Brady, so that's he, no. why.
Oh, now you're it's it. There we
now,
go.
Wait a second.
Your boyfriend this week.
Yes. I do love Brady, but yes. I will tell you right now. I mean, I want to see the Rams win this game. Now,
do you?
I do. Of course I do.
Okay.
Now, listen. Now, listen, Laura.
You're attacking my boys, okay? No, and I'm dating them, so I fight for them.
No attack. Listen. The thing is this. I disagree with you. I don't think that Matthew Stafford did anything with winning one playoff game that relieves the pressure that was talked about during the week. He is a guy that now plays on a very good team in a winning culture with a team with an excellent defense. He's got weapons everywhere. And what they did last night is what they should have done. They were playing a team that they're better than and a team that completely fell apart the latter part of the season. So it's a great win for Matthew Stafford to get the goose egg to go away in front of the three. But now that he's passed the first round or the wild card round,
mm-hmm.
now he's got a win because otherwise, really, the Rams will have been no further ahead with Matthew Stafford than they were with Jared Goff. They have to win this game this Sunday.
So this, if he wins this game, you're going to back off the hating train?
No, there's no hating. There, okay, there was doubting.
The doubting.
The doubting. Yes, the doubting.
I'll use listen, a different word.
By the way, listen, I doubted Odell Beckham also.
Oh, so
yes,
did I.
And that did not work out well
well,
for you.
Listen, yeah. I got to give it up.
By the way, actually, let's do this now. All three of you, including Lindsay, doubted Odell Beckham Jr. I was the only one that stood up for the honor of Odell Beckham Jr., and I was
so true.
Okay.
So true.
Well, now guess what I'm going to do with Odell Beckham? I'm going to put some respect on his name is what I'm going to do. Okay?
Yeah. You should do it. Stafford, too. I'm just saying.
Listen.
His dad was right, right?
His dad was right. Baker Stokes.
His dad was right.
You know what it does? It is. It is truly, ultimately, an indictment on Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Browns. How could you have had this guy that – all Sean McVay had to do was feed him touchdowns in the red zone. Look how happy he is. Look how productive he is. Look what a team guy he is.
What a different culture he's in.
No question. No doubt. But for Matthew Stafford, I'm happy as can be for the guy. But now here, the pressure will ramp up. You're playing Brady in Tampa, the greatest Super Bowl champion, maybe the GOAT of all GOATs, and you got an opportunity in good weather. You don't have to go to Green Bay. You got an opportunity. And this game will probably be different. It will probably be more Stafford-centric. You'll need a big performance out of Matthew Stafford.
All right. Well, we'll get to that. We've got plenty of time to get to that today. But
and
I just feel like Matthew – and this week, yes. I feel like Matthew Stafford deserves a little love today. Just a little.
Give him a whole lot of love, man. Great job. So does Odell Beckham. So does Von Miller.
Von Miller?
Yeah.
All the guys you doubted, Cap, played
Eric
well.
Weddle?
Yeah.
Sean McVay?
Weddle's beard?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Coming up next. Yes, Raider fan, I'm going to tell you the thing you want to hear. We'll do that next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Is my favorite Lady Gaga song right here, George Sedano.
It is?
Yep, my favorite. Number one.
Yeah. Who is it featuring then if it's your favorite song?
Lady Gaga.
No, we know it's Lady Gaga, but who does it feature? What other Lady Gaga songs do you
know?
No.
I don't know. I know a couple of them, you know, Poker Face, whatever. But
there you go. Because usually you go with Tonight is the Night, and there's no such song as that. So I'm glad that you went with a song that actually exists.
But usually every group has a song close to Tonight is the Night, so I just use that.
it's a great strategy.
Yeah. There is Tonight is the Night is actually a song by Betty Wright, just so you know.
Right.
I looked this up a moment ago.
Right, Betty.
Do you just think of that?
And I believe Rod Stewart also has a "Tonight Is the Night" as well.
The other one that goes "Tonight's the Night, let's leave it up." The Black Eyed Peas.
No, but that's
song
not
that,
that's not the name.
Yeah,
of the
it's
song.
Not called that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what Cap thinks of automatically.
Well, in this case, I like that Lady Gaga jam. It's my fave. When it comes on, I rock out.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that's the case.
Thank you.
So let me say something to Raider fan. And Cap, I don't know if you will agree with this or not. And I'm not saying that they still wouldn't have lost the game. But I feel like the Raiders really got screwed, okay? That touchdown, that was a touchdown. You know, obviously Burrow did not step out of bounds. The whistle definitely blew before the catch. Now,
no doubt.
Maybe it's still a catch for a touchdown, even if the whistle didn't blow. But what pissed me off was the league, the NFL, coming out in a statement and saying, nope, whistle did not blow before the play was concluded. And I'm like, bro, we all have the video and the audio. Like, we can all hear it, not only in real time, but it literally is viral everywhere, okay? Like, you can find it. And this stuff isn't doctored. Like, it's everywhere. And then, not only do they tell us, nope, nothing to see here, okay? Then what they decide to do is tell us, oh, by the way, that referee crew or that officiating crew is not going to officiate any more playoff games. And why is that the case then? Like, what the hell?
Well, start with the original problem. The original problem is that why does the NFL have teams of officials that work together all season long, and then they put together their wannabe all-star crews for the playoffs? Why not just say, look, we got this many crews, we rank them 1 through 12 or whatever it is, and the top 6 all get to work the postseason?
Correct.
So that's the first part of the problem. The second problem is the NFL loves to do this to us, George. Just deny, deny, deny. And if we deny long enough, we'll convince people that we're right and they're wrong. You didn't hear that whistle. Mr. Commissioner, I heard. Listen, here, right. Well, I don't hear a whistle. Yeah, of course. Come on. So I love what they tried to do, which is say, you said it, nothing to see here. But then they tell these guys you're not working anymore. Yeah, the Raiders got screwed by a tenth of a second, by a whistle that got blown, and by everybody that stopped for that tenth of a second. But it was still a touchdown. And in the final analysis, they had a chance to win the game until Derek Carr threw an interception with 17 seconds to go.
Yeah, it's...
Did they get jobbed by the officials?
They did, because that game came down to a one-score game, and Cincinnati probably kicks a field goal there. And the Raiders approach, if they're down, if they're down 3 as opposed to down 7 or whatever it was, it's got to be completely different, right?
I would think so, but the referees...
I mean, they would at least set the game into overtime.
They had a bad weekend. You know, I know it's Tuesday, and we didn't get on the air yesterday because of the Rams game.
No, I know, but I think it's still worth discussing.
Oh, I'm with you. Listen, dude, yeah. I'm with you. They had a bad weekend. Look, Jerry Jones still thinks that if there's 1 second on the clock, the Dallas Cowboys aren't guaranteed to win the game, but at least they have a shot to go for the end zone.
They do, but the Dallas Cowboys weren't winning that game.
Well,
like, I feel like the Raiders were in a much better position to win. Like, basically, at that point, the Dallas Cowboys had to heave it into the end zone, kind of Hail Mary style.
Right, it's a total prayer, and
right.
it's
whereas
a one
the
in a
Raiders,
million
if
shot.
Right, whereas if the Raiders are down 3, they were already in field goal range. They were, like, down inside the red zone.
Yeah, but listen, you know, you get down to the end of this, George, and, you know, this is what every coach will say. I got to go evaluate the film, and it wasn't one play that cost us the game. Look, was that play an important part of the game? Absolutely, 100%.
Yes.
Did the Raiders do enough to win that game? I don't think they did. They don't think they did. They were in a position to possibly come back and win that game, and then Carr throws that interception late, throws right into double coverage, and the ball gets picked. Game, set, match.
No, I get that. Like, could they have played better? Sure. But they literally were they lost an opportunity to at the very least send the game into overtime because of a gross miscalculation by an official who blew a whistle. And then the league trying to tell us that wasn't the case. And then, by the way, what the hell did you review it for if you're trying to tell us that that didn't happen? Because we all heard it happen. And NBC didn't do them any favors when they kept replaying it.
NBC, let's all slow it down right here. Bring. You
yeah.
hear that whistle? You hear that
yeah.
right there? Did
Tirico
everybody hear
and
that?
Drew Brees were like, yeah, I hear a whistle. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, so do we.
Heard a lot of people pretty disappointed in my man Drew Brees. that
he
for
was
a guy who's been on the receiving end of some bad calls in his career, and you remember that game between the Saints and the Rams?
Yeah.
That he was not harder on the officials.
I would say this, and I'm not. I don't look. I hate doing this stuff, right? Because it's. I think is that the first time he's called a game?
Well, it may be the he definitely called. He and Tirico called another game earlier in the year.
Let's do it this way. He's called what? Maybe a couple of games.
Yeah,
tops?
I mean college football games. I think he did Notre Dame stuff this year for NBC.
Right, but he's called a couple of games, max. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging. Look, take it from me, okay? I just did my first full season of college football on radio. I'll tell you this. Next season, I will be 20,000 times better than I was this season because I know what I'm doing. I think that I don't want to judge him based on this. I will say in that instance, though, yeah, I would have I don't see the downside of giving your opinion on the officiating. Like, I think as a player, you get way more latitude on officiating or coaches, right? Someone who's actually been involved in the game than an actual broadcaster. So you should take that latitude that the league will give you, I think, in those instances. Because a guy like Troy Aikman or a guy like Chris Collinsworth or any of these guys would have, I think, been more opinionated in that situation.
I agree. Yes. And I think for a guy like Drew, who's early in his broadcasting career, once he lightens up, and I tell him, dude, just think about John Madden. You don't have to be John Madden, but just think about how John Madden was not your conventional, polished broadcaster and how much people loved that authenticity. Just lighten up, bro. Be yourself.
No, and even Tony Romo. Now, some people love it. Some people don't love it. But, I mean, the people that love it really love it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I that would be great advice. I would just say, yo, just be you, man. Like, if you're angry about something, say it. Like, just don't be afraid.
So. I'll tell you what I'm angry about. I really wanted the Raiders to win. I mean, listen, I think Joe Burrow's a good story.
I know you were on their bandwagon.
I was in a big way. And I think Joe Burrow's a good story. I do. I think Cincinnati. It's great to see a city like Cincinnati come to life because if you watch a game there in the last 5 years, it was half empty. It's great to see cities like Cincinnati and Buffalo, you know, have a chance to be involved now. I think it's cool, but I really was pulling for the Raiders.
All right, coming up next, you and I are going to dive back into the Lakers. And do the Lakers have actual options after what we saw last night against the Jazz? A good win. The best win of the season. Do they have actual options? We'll tell you about that because one particular prominent NBA player turned analyst doesn't necessarily believe they do. We'll tell you who and what and why in a moment.